That's the button.
That's the button that says record.
Yeah.
It's the red circle.
There you go.
I thought it meant stop.
It does kind of look like stop.
It does. No, that's the yellow square. I don't know. Actually, I don't know. Well, I guess like red is usually for record, like in the cameras or whatever. So
They
have the red color is occupied, so they had to pick a different color for stop.
Yeah,
because sometimes it is red.
Mm-hmm.
So what you gonna do?
But green means go.
Green means go.
And press play.
And apparently, pause means blue.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, blue is pause.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah, you didn't know that. Yeah.
You know what else the world needed to know?
What?
Is that not your dad's root beer floats. Fucking delicious.
It's a great idea.
It is, isn't it?
That's what we're doing right now, everybody.
Yep. Take some vanilla ice cream, pop in some not your dad's.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good-ass time.
It's actually really good.
If we didn't have this, if I accidentally drank these last night, we were going to be doing moonshine for the show. So
Happy New Year!
And you think I'm joking. I'm dead serious.
He really just would have had the moonshine?
We were going to be doing moonshine.
Oh, right? Man.
So, you're fucking welcome.
Moonshine floats. Not the same thing.
No. Just no.
Well, you can get the moonshine with the cherry in it or something.
Nope.
I love those.
Now, of course, when I say moonshine, I mean unaged corn whiskey, because let's be fucking honest. We're in California.
Yeah.
We're not getting real moonshine out
no,
here.
No, well, thank God.
It's not 190 proof.
Yeah.
Like, you ain't getting that
like,
out here.
Like, I'm afraid if I drink this, I literally will go blind.
Yes. Yeah. That is a legitimate risk.
But think of this, you didn't drink the nut, your father's root beer, and we're having some good root beer floats right now.
Good
some
times.
Adult root beer floats.
Good fucking time.
Also, welcome to Sexy Debate Time.
Oh, yeah, we're doing a podcast.
Yeah, right. Sexy Debate Time podcast. I'm Bobby.
And I'm Barge.
And we're doing a podcast right now. It's the day before New Year's Eve that we're recording this.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah, before New Year's Eve.
2015, solid year.
Yeah, not a bad
solid
year.
Solid year.
Not a bad
not
year.
A great year, but a good year.
Yeah, it's, you know, it didn't go down like, man, this year sucked. It was like, well, you know what? There's some good things. There's some troubling things. But guess what? We made it through it, everybody.
Yeah. So far, so good.
Yeah, get ready for the shit fest that is 2016.
Oh, it's going to be a clusterfuck. Donald Trump's inauguration day.
Oh,
coming to you in
man.
10 short months.
That. Well, bye, America. Oh, the rest of the world just says bye, Felicia, to America.
Yeah.
That's what's really
bye, Felicia.
That's what's really going to happen in 2016. When Trump gets elected.
Now, we don't spend a lot of time talking politics.
Yeah.
On purpose. I'm just saying, I can't wait until it turns out this is all a joke. And he's been, like, filming a Netflix documentary.
It probably is going to happen like that.
That would be the greatest con ever.
Oh, yeah.
I would eternally respect him for it. That's like the shit that, like Sacha Baron Cohen wishes he could do.
What he probably would have done back in the day before he got famous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I am convinced that Trump started drinking his own Kool-Aid and realized, you know what? People are following me. Maybe there is something to what I'm actually saying, because I was just saying it to get attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because I ran for president before, and it didn't really work out. It just, you know, got me a few camera time.
Yeah, got me on Fox News.
Yeah, raised my profile a little bit.
Another season of Apprentice.
Yeah. I was just bored. Maybe there's something to it.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure this is just a joke gone horribly wrong.
I hope so. If not, then I don't know what that says about us. Nothing good on consume.
Yeah, not much good. Definitely not much good.
But, well, until then, we are close to the new year, so I guess we would... do we want to talk about 2015 in general?
Yeah, we can kind of
you know, going in an overview. We don't have to do like a top 10 list or anything,
no.
But you know, our surprises, things we liked, things we disliked, things we hope we get better in 2016.
Niners suck.
Yeah, hopefully that gets better.
Holy shit, we suck. We're bad.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't call us a team.
We're fucking bad.
Yeah. We got maybe we'll have, keep Lane Griffin. Griffin. I keep saying Griffin like he's the Griffin family.
Yo, but, Gabba Gabbert.
Yo, Gabba Gabbert. Blaine Griffin. Gabbert. I keep saying Griffin. Gabbert. We keep Blaine Gabbert around, maybe. I don't know if that's a plus.
Probably not.
Yeah. There's not a lot of plus what that comes with the San Francisco 49ers.
No.
Number one, they're not in San Francisco.
Navarro Bowman's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good.
You know, Carlos Hyde was good until he got hurt.
Mm-hmm. Our team sucks.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. Niners suck.
So, there's nothing but up from here.
Yeah. 2016 can't be much worse.
Hopefully.
Oh, God, it could be.
It could be very worse.
Johnny Manziel in a Niners jersey.
Oh.
No. No.
And then they send Cap over there, and he does amazing.
Of course.
The Browns are in the playoffs! The Browns are in the playoffs!
What the fuck?
But yeah,
only my worst nightmares.
Yeah, all of the nightmares. But I guess I'll go with movies. A lot of money was made this year.
Shitwax money.
All of the money, like Star Wars. I love how somehow this year came to be defined as the Avengers, Jurassic World, and Star Wars having a pissing contest about who's gonna make more money. Like, they seriously are, like, sitting around, like, you're going to break my record? Come at me, bro. Like, and who knew the Avengers would get in third place? Like,
seriously.
A distant third place.
Not even in the ballpark.
Yeah. Third place. Like, they made it to the playoffs, but it was the first round. They barely got out of the wild card. And then Jurassic World is over here just looking at Star Wars, trying to punk it.
What?
Having a bro off with Han Solo. I just can't imagine like how much money has been made this whole year. Like, was it?
But Bobby, the film industry is being gutted alive by piracy.
Is that the still complaint that they keep complaining about?
That's what I keep hearing.
Hey, get those cell phones out of the theater.
Yep. It's a disaster.
There was a couple, like, was it 2012? They made that book, like, The $1 Billion Year.
Yeah.
And all these movies came out, and I think that's when the first Avengers came out. And the box office domestically made so much money. And then worldwide, they made so much money. So I can imagine that 2015 will be that sequel. That book for that sequel is coming out.
I think it's just going to be the norm now.
Yeah.
I think if there's anything we managed to prove is that piracy really doesn't do shit to the film industry.
Well, I don't even think that's a real argument that people are complaining more and even more. Like, piracy was the thing because that was the easy answer. It's like saying, why are kids beating each other up? Because of violent video games. It's the easy... It's
that rap music.
Yeah, that rap music and that hip-hop and their baggy pants and their trench coats. You know, that's the easy answer.
According to Bill Crosby, it was about their choice of language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, Bill.
Okay, Bill.
All right, Bill.
Just keep your hands where I can see them.
Yeah. Don't touch that girl right there, Bill.
Yep.
No, he won't be touching anybody for a long time.
Nope. No, he's out on bail already. Mm-hmm. That only lasted like a day.
Of course. But this year is going to be the interesting one because I don't know if 2016 is going to be as big as like 2015, but I can see it progressing where certain films like this have insane openings and make insane amount of money.
Yeah.
Worldwide. Like, if you look at Star Wars, it still hasn't even opened up in China yet.
Yeah.
And it's already made over $1 billion worldwide.
It's absurd money.
Yeah. Like, I think they were, like, going over, like, it's the fastest grossing movie for like $300 million, $500 million, $600 million, and all, and like all those broken down, like records you didn't think existed. Mm-hmm. Like no one actually broke that record because no one barely made that kind of much money.
Yeah.
So it's insane what the industry is going through right now. And it'll be funny to see how much Star Wars stays on top. Because it is that film that has good word of mouth.
It's going to have a lot of repeat views, too.
Yeah. So I'll be curious to like how much that drags into the first quarter of 2016. And how many people in like mid-January are going to still be seeing it.
Yeah. I mean, the mushroom cloud coming off that movie is going to be pretty big, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's going to stick around for a while.
It was something insane where... After it opened, IMAX had to sign an exclusive where it would only sell in Star Wars for the next 4 weeks. So there's like other films that can't get an IMAX because of Star Wars.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. I think Quentin Tarantino was complaining about it because
The Hateful Eight.
Yeah, they had to push, one theater had to push The Hateful Eight out because it was going to show Star Wars and only Star Wars or something in that theater, or they just couldn't make the showtimes work.
Yeah.
And Quentin Pitt was pissed.
QT not happy.
No.
Not pleased.
Yeah. And he had some creative dialogue about it.
As he often does.
Yeah. So it will be interesting about what's going to happen next year, because 2016, there's a lot of, people knew that 2015 was going to be the big year, because it was like Jurassic World, Avengers,
Star Wars,
you know, and you had all these other films that we can't even think about that came out this year. Pixar had two films. One kind of underperformed, but, you know, Inside Out is like the new classic.
Yeah, Inside Out was great.
Yeah. So there was a lot of films looking forward to it. 2016 should be interesting because many people are forgetting we're also getting a Star Wars film in 2016.
By the way.
Yeah. Rogue One is coming out.
Yep.
I don't know if it's going to be a Force Awaken opening.
But it's going to do well.
It's going to do well. You know, we're also going to get Captain America. Batman
vs.
Superman.
We all kind of looked at Disney a little cross-eyed
when
they bought the Star Wars license. And I'm not saying they're going to be the greatest caretaker ever. But there is one advantage to it. The mouse has got deep pockets to make shit happen.
Well, I was reading something in a report. They were talking about how Disney was the only ones who could actually handle the Star Wars franchise, if you think about it.
Yeah, they're the only one that could finance it.
Yeah, not only financing one, they're the only ones who had the means to properly market and distribute something like Star Wars on a multi-medium scale.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at TV, you're looking at movies, merchandise, theme parks, you know, costumes, all digital platforms. They're the only studio who are experts in all of that.
Yeah.
And probably could be the only ones who can handle it. Like, can you imagine if Sony got a hands on Star Wars? I don't know if they would know what to do with it.
If MGM got it somehow, there still wouldn't be a new movie.
Yeah, they would be in development hell for it.
Yeah. Just trying to scrap together the money to get it done.
No. When Disney says, this is going to get done, it gets done.
Yeah.
They will put the right people with it.
And they're willing to pay the premium to get it done right.
Yeah. And no, Disney has made many mistakes before.
And John Carter.
Lone Ranger. A lot of in recent history. So they know when something doesn't hit, they work their ass to do it.
Yeah.
Like, they've had a like, earlier this year, Tomorrowland was a disappointment.
Yeah.
It just didn't work out. So, they're going to put a lot of effort into their other projects to make up for it. Yeah. Inside Out worked. The Good Dinosaur did not.
Yeah. Happens.
It happens. But guess what? They don't, like, it's not, when that happens, the studio doesn't buckle, and people lose their jobs.
Yeah, it's not going to be a disaster when a Disney movie underperforms.
Yeah, because they will find a way to make it work with the next one.
Yeah.
And they'll make their money back. And I think they made their money back.
They're going to be okay.
They'll be fine. And, you know, if anyone can build a franchise, it's that freaking mouse.
Yeah. The mouse, look, he's an evil overlord. It's true, but
when
evil overlords got resources.
Let's say Minnie has a very particular style.
Yes.
Of life, and that is not cheap.
It's not.
Let's be real. Minnie only eats at the finest establishments.
Minnie isn't going to be at Denny's.
No. And what's this talking about, the lowest form or where she's going to eat? That's the Blue Lagoon.
Yeah. Which is fucking delicious.
Amazing. The mojitos there.
Seriously, if you go, like, as an adult, if you go to Disneyland, you got to go to the Blue Lagoon.
Yeah,
like,
try to get a reservation.
It's worth it.
It's really
good. It's expensive. It's worth it.
Oh, the steak there is so good.
Yeah.
The mashed potatoes were amazing. The atmosphere by itself is just fantastic. Killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every now and then, someone on the Pirates ride will yell at you.
Whatever.
Whatever. Comes with the territory. But yeah, it's Disney. Disney got it right. And you can't say you're nothing but excited for the future of this franchise.
Mm.
But yeah, I think the rest of the year was a pretty good year for the movies. I will say this, though. You know how I'm pretty confident when it comes to award season?
Yeah.
And it's pretty easy for me to kind of figure out best movie of the year.
You can read the Academy pretty well.
I can't this year.
There's not like an obvious like...
There's no obvious choice.
There's not an Oscar bait film that like really did well enough to make me say like, oh, that movie's going to start sweeping.
Yeah. There isn't like...
There's plenty of candidates.
Yeah. There isn't like, oh, 12 Years a Slave. It's a great movie, and it's the type of movie that the Academy loves.
It's going to rack up in all the costume design ones.
Yeah.
It's a period piece. It's about an oppressive period in U.S. history.
Yeah.
So it's going to have a chance for Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there isn't, like, any movie that, like, checks all the boxes.
Yeah. And there isn't, like, oh, there's a few there. So, okay, this one, like, Gravity's going to win all the sound editing and sound mixing.
Bullshit. Bullshit.
Fuck your sound mixing.
The Academy doesn't know what the fuck they're doing on that front. That was embarrassing.
Yeah. So, like, you can see this film taking this category. Or this is the one guy who's going to get nominated and win for Best Actor.
Yeah.
Or there's always that one acting category you can call. And it's usually one of the supporting characters.
It's the one with Meryl Streep in it.
Yeah. I don't see a Meryl Streep movie anywhere. Do you?
I do not.
No, no. Like, there's always like, oh, Christoph Waltz in Inglourious Basterds is going to win.
Yeah.
You know, Javier Bardem from No Country for Old Men is going to win. Anne Hathaway is going to win.
Everyone else is getting a courtesy nomination.
Yeah. I don't fucking see that.
It's going to be pretty open.
It really is a toss in the air. Okay, Spotlight's going to get nominated. So who in Spotlight's going to be like one of the actor ones? I don't know. It's a pretty decent ensemble. Mark Ruffalo?
Maybe.
Maybe Michael Keaton again? Levi Schreiber?
Yeah, there's not like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Well, he is Reverend.
Yeah, but I mean like in like, you know, Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
We're just like, okay, here it comes.
Yeah. That's why they're saying Leo's probably going to be the one time that he wins this year. Because out of all of the Reverend, which hasn't come out here in Sacramento yet, but it's probably going to be him. Because this is the one time where
I'm pretty stoked on that film, to be honest.
It is. I am very excited for that movie.
I still need to go out and see Concussion. I need to work on that. I've heard pretty mixed things.
It's a good movie. Could be better.
Yeah, it's basically what I've heard.
Just watch a football game instead.
Yeah, just watch the Niners suck. Yeah,
you'll see plenty of concussions there.
There'll be plenty of concussions.
Well, there isn't just that. There isn't a front runner in any categories, I would like to say. Even when I'm looking at the list of Golden Globes, I'm just like, well, Mad Max is pretty cool. I'm just going to vote for that one. Like,
I think in this type of market, like, your blockbuster movies all of a sudden have a little better shot? Is that how this works?
I think so, because I think there was a lot of blockbusters that can be considered for award season stuff. Like, movies like Mad Max. I think people will consider Star Wars, like, up there. Even, like, Inside Out. Like, there was a lot of blockbuster movies that I think that were, you can put in those categories without feeling like
now,
you
I'm not
have
saying
justify.
Like best, like Avengers is going to get a best picture nom, but I'm saying like for those like big blockbuster movies that typically don't get a lot of actor nominations.
Yeah.
Like, is there like a performance in that group where it's like, this guy might get a supporting actor nom, where in a normal year, he would never get considered.
Yeah, I would say Charlize Theron for Mad Max.
That's what I was thinking. I was leaning in that direction, too.
I would say, like, that would be my obvious choice for Best Actress. Out of a whole movie that has, like, amazing performances, I
honestly think that film would do very well in the sound, in a lot of the technical categories.
Sound mixing.
Not sound editing.
Sound mixing.
No, bullshit. They did really good on the sound.
Yeah, they did. Like, the special effects, I think I would give it to that than anything.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is years like this, at least to me from the outside looking in, make it much more possible for Mad Max to get some nominations.
Yeah, and because if you look at what the Academy, what they have to do, they have to get at least 5 nominees for Best Picture. They can have anywhere between 5 and 10.
Yeah.
That's why some years they have 8 or sometimes they have 9.
Yeah.
Since they changed the rule, they have had about 9 at least pictures be nominated. Now, this could be a year where we have a lot of films nominated for Best Picture, or we could magically just have not as many. I can see it go back and forth. Like, if I have to predict, Spotlight, The Revenant...
Having never seen The Revenant.
Yeah, I can just from the buzz... Because a lot of times you can predict from the buzz.
Yeah.
Yeah, Spotlight, Reverend, maybe The Martian, which is another kind of big crowd pleaser.
Yeah, that's another film that in a normal Oscar year, maybe Matt Damon doesn't have a chance in hell.
But he could get a nomination
and
from
all
this.
Of a sudden, like, the field's open enough where he might get a nomination out of this.
Mm-hmm. That's another one. Like, that one and Mad Max, those are two films that could literally... get nominated for Best Picture, and see a couple actors get nominated.
Yeah.
I can see that. I can even see Mad Max getting in there, just because the field is so open.
Yeah, I honestly feel like Mad Max... if the field's like 7...
Yeah.
It would be in that field.
Yeah, because not even... Even the films that are clearly begging for Oscar nomination, like The Danish Girl... It's directed by Todd Hooper, who is... his movies only get made to get Oscar nominations.
That's pretty much his job.
Yeah, The King's Speech and Les Miserables. His movies get made for the Oscars. Hasn't been getting a whole lot of buzz.
Yeah.
Especially with the topic at hand. It's not saying it's a bad movie, but it just hasn't been getting a lot of award season buzz.
It is a very Oscar-baity film.
Yeah.
Just by its nature.
The other film with Freeheld with Julianne Moore and what's the girl from Juno?
Oh, fuck, I always forget her name.
Yeah. Juno and she's Kat from the X-Men movies.
Yeah.
But it's her. They play partners, but Julianne Moore is a cop. But she has cancer or gets sick, and they won't let her transfer her benefits to her partner.
Yeah.
Because they're a gay couple.
Yeah.
And it's about the fight they have with that. And you're like, that's totally an Oscar bait movie or an award season movie. Movie came out, no one saw it, no one cared.
Yep.
99 Homes, another movie with Andrew Garfield and Michael Shannon. Great film. Probably one of my... I'd say underappreciated films that you probably missed this year.
Because it had no buzz.
Had great reviews. People were talking about it for a while. Lasted about a month, and it disappeared.
Never to be seen again.
Yeah. And it's a movie that's very timely about how you can easily get screwed out of losing your home.
Yeah.
It's a real horror movie.
That's a horror movie.
That's a horror film.
Cuts to the chairman of the investment bankrage firm.
Yeah.
Good.
Good.
If you short sail, you will complete your path to the dark side.
It is some kind of like fucking like Sith like shit.
Use your anger, flip your equity.
Take out another mortgage. Yes, yes.
This is impossible.
I am your realtor.
No. Then I repossess your, have the bank repossess your home, and I sell it for cheap to the next sucker.
Yep.
So, like, there's a lot of those little films you thought will be making more of a buzz that aren't, that are letting films in, like The Martian and Mad Max and even Inside Out kind of get in there. Hell, I can, I'm not saying this will, but I can kind of see Trainwreck making kind of a buzz at the award season.
That was another film I was going to kind of bring up.
No, I don't know if it's Best Picture, but maybe like...
I feel like Bill Hader might get some love.
I feel like this is that this is a year for writing for that one. I think a lot of comedy is going to get a lot of writing awards. Cause that, yeah. And I think that's going to get one. I don't know about acting, unless LeBron James can get Best Supporting Actor.
I thought Bill Hader was pretty good in that movie.
He is really good, and usually it's hard for comedies for anyone to get nominated, unless you're a Woody Allen movie.
Pretty much.
So, but, you know, films like that, I can start seeing get a little bit of love.
I don't know. I just feel like in this kind of market, like, Mad Max and The Martian have some opportunities here.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, like, winning something, but they have some opportunities.
But they have room at the table.
Especially Mad Max.
Yeah.
Because I think if this is 2012, Mad Max is not even in the discussion.
Oh, no. Because there's too many of those, like, artsy... You know, they're good movies, but
they'll
get...
Yeah, they're not shitty movies.
Yeah, they're all great movies, but we tend to ignore the populist movies or movies that go out to... That are kind of crowd-pleasing.
We don't tend to ignore.
Yeah.
The Academy tends
to. Yeah, they look them as little films that don't deserve it. We'll put them in the special effects category.
Peasantry films.
They get the sound categories.
Yeah.
But, you know...
Of the, aliens, costumes.
Costumes. Unless your movie is about some love triangle in early 1900s, you're not getting anything more than the costume category.
It's not happening.
Not happening. And that's another movie that's surprisingly getting a lot of buzz. Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You saw that one coming. So it's gonna be a very open field this year, and I'm actually kind of curious when the nominees get out. Because I, even with the, after the nominees, it's going to be hard for me to predict. So this, Barge, this may be the year you want to get in that Oscar poll.
This might be the year for me to jump in.
This might be the year that people beat the champ here.
Try to do some damage?
Yeah, you might.
I don't know, man. The way my fantasy football season went this year, this might be the year for me in the Oscar pool. Holy shit.
Yeah. What if this was like a year where I actually won fantasy football? But then I lose horribly in the Oscar bowl.
You just get wrecked in the Oscar bowl.
What has Bobby become?
Matt Damon got an Oscar over Leo?
What the fuck? What the? Who did Leo piss off?
He did something.
He slept with somebody's wife.
Oh, yeah. Long dick style.
That's his issue. He slept with the wrong woman.
He's Tyrone.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
But yeah, it's a good year to be open. It's a good year for films to, I think, the alternative choices to actually make a splash.
Yeah,
and yeah, it was an interesting year.
On the video game side, I mean, 2014 was like the year of the indie.
Yeah,
all these indie indie games doing damage. This year, it's just like Witcher 3.
Yeah,
boom. Fallout 4, boom. Yeah. Metal Gear Solid 5, boom. Just giant, heavy-hitting franchises just all over the place. Fallout 4 is, like, the highest-selling entertainment release ever. Like, holy fuck.
Get your downloadable shit out of our way. Time for the real games.
And, you know, that's kind of the refreshing thing with those four games, like with those three games. Like, you know, DLC has been starting to become a problem, let's be honest. Like, look at Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah.
Like... When 3/4 of your game is behind DLC that's not even out yet, you got a problem.
Yeah.
And, like, The Witcher 3 is giving away just countless DLC for free post-release. The jury's out on Fallout 4 because they're doing the season pass thing, and that kind of irks me.
Yeah.
Just, I don't like the idea of a season pass. Like,
well,
you're buying into something. You don't even know what's coming down the road. You know if it's going to be some stupid bullshit. You don't know if it's going to be good, meaningful content. You don't know.
Yeah.
And they're not telling you shit. And Fallout 4, to be honest, like, it was really, really good. I don't know if I'm going to buy in for $120 good. Ugh. Like, that's kind of a... That's kind of a tall order.
That's a lot. That's a lot of commitment to one game.
Yeah. It's a tall-ass order. I don't know if I'm in for that.
Yeah, I can't imagine for that. Because that's $120, the game plus the season pass. And I agree with the season pass. When you don't even have a clue of what's coming, and for the most part, when it's coming, I might have moved on.
Like, Witcher 3 was pretty open about it, at least. Yeah. So, like, hey, we're doing three big expansions. We got a bunch of other shit we're going to give away for free.
Yeah.
Like, they were pretty transparent about it. But, like, with Fallout, you don't fucking know.
Yeah.
You have no idea. And Metal Gear Solid 5 was an amazing game in its own right. But I feel like it kind of got a little overshadowed, like, by The Witcher 3 and Fallout 4. Witcher 3 seems to be sweeping up all the game of the years. And I don't think they're particularly wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, it's arguably one of the best games from a narrative perspective that I've seen. And it's not some, like, cool little 8-bit indie game that no one's going to play that has this amazing story, Braid. and no, it's this AAA giant blockbuster.
Yeah.
That's just absurd in scope that still keeps those, like... Those really, like, down-home, like, core roots of storytelling, of RPG design that kind of gets lost in a lot of those super big games. And next year's looking solid, too. You got, like, the new Mass Effect's coming out.
Yeah.
And there's no way it can be as bad as Mass Effect 3.
No.
That's impossible. you have the new Deus Ex, Human Revolution, Mankind Divided, rather.
Yeah.
It's Tom Clancy's The Division, New Mirror's Edge, the game that deserved a sequel more than any other. Like, there's a lot of big stuff. And then there's the game that I think is going to be the next World of Warcraft. Like, that online game that, like, absorbs everyone on the planet.
Yeah.
Star Citizen. I just got invited to the beta. I mean, sorry, the alpha.
Yeah.
Got to look at it a little bit. And, like, between that and No Man's Sky, like...
Yeah.
One of those two games is going to eat the other. And whichever one does is going to fucking take over the world for a while. Like, it's going to be the biggest fucking thing when it comes out.
Yeah.
And I find that hilarious because on both of them, there are these huge, like, weird space exploration-y type games. Like, I look at No Man's Sky and... I'm not entirely sure, like, the shit they're trying to sell is going to work, but holy fuck if it works. And on the other end, you have Star Citizen, like, the ultimate crowdfunded game ever.
Yeah.
I think they're up to, like, $85 million now in crowdfunding.
Oh, wow.
And playing through the alpha and just checking it out, it's fucking unreal. Like, and it would not stun me if it got pushed back to 2017.
Yeah.
But they're targeting quarter four this year of 2016, right? There we go. And it's just absurdly huge in scope. And with games like that, like, you just kind of look at that and you're like, are you looking at the future? Like, is this where everything's going to go? Or is this going to just completely fizzle out and die under its own weight?
It's going to be a big shit in the bed.
Because I feel with both of them, like, there's a large element of risk here. Because with No Man's Sky is, like, the wet dream of an indie game developer. And it's got a lot of weird concepts that sound amazing to someone that studies game design.
Yeah.
And then you constantly have to ask yourself, like, are people going to be in for a massive multiplayer game where they might not necessarily see anyone and there's not really combat? And then you look at Star Citizen on the other end.
Yeah.
And you look at it and you go, well, if this doesn't work, it's going to ruin crowdfunding forever.
Yeah.
And on the other side of it, it's a weird property that sort of has a following of its own, but is so huge and complicated and deep. Like, can you sell this to the non-core audience. Because that's really the secret to making money now with these giant AAA titles. And both of them, at this stage, have to be called that. These aren't independent games anymore.
Yeah.
When you have $85 million in your war chest, don't talk to me about your starving developers. Okay? I don't want to hear it. You have huge money to make this game.
Yeah.
Same thing with No Man's Sky. Now they have Microsoft behind them. Like, these are concepts that are pretty out there that, if they fail, are going to really radically alter how games are made after them. So I'm a little... That's probably the big storyline for 2016, is what's going to happen with these two games? And how is it going to work?
Well, it's going to be interesting. I kind of like how, in the world of gaming, every other year is the indie year. And then in between those years, the AAA people come back with something. Something big and amazing.
What's the development time like?
Yeah.
Like, Ubisoft has to have three different development teams to make Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them suck.
Yeah.
but, like, the amount of time and labor it takes to make a AAA game dwarfs everything else right now.
Yes.
Like, compared to making a movie. Absurd.
Yeah.
Like, I was reading up on a Gamma Sutra a while back, like, the newest Assassin's Creed game was something to the tune of, like, $600 million.
Oh, wow.
Like, the kind of money it costs to not even market it. We haven't talked about selling it yet. We're getting it out the door.
Just to have a game.
Because you got to figure, like, these are giant, complex things where you have a guy whose job it is to texture rocks. And you're paying that guy probably 70, 80, 90 grand to come in and texture rocks. You're going to need a lot of rocks.
But Jim, the rock texture, he's pretty good.
He's the best. If you need different types of rocks textured, Jim's your boy.
He is the man in the industry. Like, he's no joke.
And when you deal with the cost of developing these games, hold on, let me see if I can actually find the real number. Cost of...
Well, that's the thing about video games. The cost to make these games are insane. And I know they... A lot of times they hide that cost just to, because it's an insane number to comprehend.
Yeah.
Like, it almost like... Well, I guess $60 for that video game isn't so bad, but why did you spend so much money?
It's just absurd how much money it costs. Like, okay, I can't find the exact... Black Flag.
Yeah.
That's three Assassin's Creed games ago?
Yeah.
Was comfortably over $100 million to make.
Whew. Ugh.
And they're keeping three of these teams going simultaneously. I'm not saying they're all going to cost $100 million.
Yeah.
But at a minimum, you're probably spending close to $250 million to keep this thing up and running.
Hmm.
Because the way their whole setup is working, like, these things have to stack on top of each other.
Yeah.
That's a shit whack of money.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
I wish they made better games for their $250 million. Or at least games that ran. That'd be nice. I'm not bitter at all. No, I'm not. God damn it, Ubisoft.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I can't imagine an industry holding itself up with something like that. Like, I know they've been years talking about a burst, but if they keep doing stuff like that and spending so much money to develop these games, I can't imagine certain companies being around for so much longer. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the return is for it. I don't know if they have investors they can... I don't know if there's, like, some kind of tax refund for some of this stuff.
When I look at how this all came together with some of these bigger studios, like, I feel like, one, they have some way to kind of defray the cost a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, there's some really creative tax way.
Tax incentives. Like, because this studio is located in this region, you get really good tax development for your whatever game you develop within that region.
Yeah. But I mean, the weird thing is we hear of studios closing all the time.
Yeah.
That's like a normal thing now when you follow game development. Studios just going under left and right. And especially with indies. Like right now, the big topic is the indiepocalypse.
Yeah.
You know, 4 or 5 years ago, especially in the mobile world, like all these tiny little studios were making hit. We're making Flappy Bird and racking money.
Yeah.
And it's really hard now for the indie developer to kind of crack in and get the exposure they need, even if they have a really excellent game.
Well, it's so saturated now.
Yeah. And on the other end of that, it's getting harder for the AAA studios to make a game that justifies spending $100 million to develop it. Because now it's like, oh, well, fuck, people are buying Rocket League. fuck.
Yeah, it's that weird boat where both sides of the coin are going to have a tough time making and developing and getting a game out to consumers and getting the consumers to get that game. Because like you said, you have one side, you have to spend so much freaking money just to make the damn thing.
Yeah.
And the other side is, I can make it on the cheap, but the problem is there's a lot of cheap.
Yeah.
There's a lot of games out there that may look and seem like my game, so therefore the customer, when they go on the PS4 network or whatever network you're downloading off, it's snow blindness.
Yeah.
So
especially on Steam, on the PC side. Snowblindness is very real right now in the PC world.
Yeah.
There are games everywhere.
And it's about how do you get your game to stand out from the rest? Yeah. And that goes from both sides of that coin.
Yeah. And then the other big side of it, for me, the good news is there's never been a bigger consumer group for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is a huge market. When you got moms downloading shit off Google Play in the App Store, like, the market's never been bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the thing that's kind of pushing all this forward, is that the pie's getting bigger, and people are trying to figure out how much of it is theirs.
Yeah.
So it's definitely going to be a wild year for 2016, especially when you have all these kind of competing ideologies with how a game is funded and developed. Like, this is kind of going to be a year where we're going to get a lot of reckoning as to how things are going to work out afterwards.
It may be a defining year for the industry.
Yeah.
It really could be.
Now, of course, the really important thing is we are both a Game of Thrones and a Walking Dead podcast.
Yes.
Is this going to be the year they cross over and we find out that Game of Thrones and The Walking Dead are in the same universe, just Game of Thrones is in the future?
And we find out that 357s kill White Walkers.
Yes.
So Rick will be okay.
Rick will be fine.
Is it a 357 or 44 that he carries?
I can't recall, actually.
It's one of those two. I can't tell.
44 is much more common.
Let's just make it a 44.
Yeah.
44 I mean,
as far as a police-issued weapon, a 44 would be much more common than 357.
Yeah. Seems like a 44 type of guy.
Yeah.
You know, 357s used to be cool back in the day. Even the Magnum ones, but 44... He's a dirty hairy man.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So 44 Magnums, they kill White Walkers. Not just a, what was that, steel? Valyrian steel or whatever.
Yeah. So we've had fun just kind of masturbating about film and game, but let's talk a little bit about what we actually do.
Yeah.
So 2016, is one of these shows going to be dead after this?
Or undead?
Dun, dun, dun.
Where's that drum set? Well, I feel like Walking Dead's hitting its might be hitting the peak soon, because we've had a mixed year so far, mixed season, yeah. I want to say.
But we've gotten to Negan.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work now, it's never gonna work.
Yeah. And we've had a good couple seasons, some really good seasons. They've really come back hard. So Walking Dead really likes to reinvent itself every half season.
Yeah.
So they're really good at introducing a new aspect that changes up the show and makes you more interested in it. So I'm excited for it. If this doesn't work, then we might start to see. Now, when we say Walking Dead's going to take a fall,
it's going
to
start a wind down.
Yeah,
if it falls,
it doesn't mean the show's going to get any less popular, and it's going to be completely awful. It may just go down a little bit.
Yeah.
So, Game of Thrones, I felt like it had its already had its mixed year.
Yeah.
But it ended on several high notes. So,
my concern isn't so much about the show.
Yeah.
It's about, we're now in the period where there's not a book.
Yeah.
To deal with.
Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like that might be more freeing, though.
I kind of feel like, and I'm not, and obviously they didn't follow the book to the letter, obviously. But I kind of feel like that framework was kind of a big deal to keeping the show kind of on its path.
Well, to be fair, they did say they talked to George Martin, and they got everything out of him.
But it's a little different, though, because even though they know the big story,
well, you don't
like
know
landmarks.
We don't really know that. He literally could have detailed outlines already done and saying, hey, this is the arcs of everybody.
A detailed outline isn't a
no, it depends.
Serious literary description of a scene, for example. Like, there's not a set. I'm sure he doesn't have, like, all the details of, here's this cool set piece.
Well,
because that's the stuff they actually did follow pretty
or
well.
Or he could. A lot of these fantasy writers, they end up developing locations or settings before they develop a story.
This is true.
Of characters. You never know what they... You don't know what they know. And what, regardless of that, I'm confident in the showrunners. They have nothing but prove that they can make this their own and make the show in general and
yeah.
make it good. Especially for non-fantasy people. I'm confident to see what they do when we get into this territory where there is no books. I'm kind of more excited by the aspect where they don't have a book to worry about being next to.
Okay.
A book being something to be compared to.
Yeah.
So, it's a little unnerving because no one can get a grip on anything.
I do love yeah. that at this point forward, all the hardcore book people, because I get it, because I'm a hardcore comic person with Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And you've read up pretty high
yeah.
as well. I love that the hardcore Game of Thrones book people are in the same boat as everybody else from this point forward.
They were laughing at us.
Yep.
They laughed at us for years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, come on over to our side.
Yep. Have a seat on the couch, motherfucker.
You don't know when to take out your phone and start recording me, do you now?
Yeah, it's all our turns now.
Bitch.
It's a big shit sandwich and we all get to take a bite.
So, yeah, I'm excited by that aspect. I'm excited. I always, the problem with adapting something, people always say, oh, you got to make the book. You're not making the book. You're making the show or you're making the movie.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, it's about adapting and changing that thing and making it that fits this medium. And that's kind of a hard thing. And you're going to have to make a lot of changes to do that. That makes sense for the medium. So for them to start with something where there is no book and we don't know how much information they know from Martin or not, I think I have nothing but confidence in them. Mm-hmm. I'm excited by it. You know, well, maybe a couple, two episodes in, we'll talk about it in detail. And I'm like, maybe this isn't going to work.
Yeah, maybe this shit.
Oh, shit. Maybe Martin needs to hurry up and start writing some books.
Yeah.
But we have to see. I'm more, if I can, based on what I've seen and what I know from the show and from the showrunners, I'm okay with it. I'm not worried. Okay. And that's what you can only based on. Walking Dead, you can be a little bit more skeptical about just because we know that first half of the season already.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way they got to where they were, even though I like the mixture of time that they did.
Yeah.
I like that it's essentially just these 3 days. And some of it just didn't work out so well. They didn't get the details that they needed to get done right. And that could make you a little bit concerned when it comes to Negan. And we've seen this show when it comes to introducing favorite characters from the comic maybe not work out so well.
The source material on this end is so strong, though.
Doesn't
like, this is some of their best material from the source end.
Doesn't matter. You're making the show not the source material.
But here's the thing. They had to make Eugene a good character for the show.
Yeah.
They had to change Eugene fundamentally. Negan's ready.
Yeah. But
pull him out the oven. Put him on the plate.
No, I hope you're right, and I think they're going to get it right. This is the one thing the show actually...
They cast him great.
Yeah. The one thing that the show needs right now is a character like Negan to make it interesting again.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter how rich the source material is. Think of how many movies and how many TV shows or even the comic books you read based on books where it was rich source material.
Yeah.
And think about that one thing that got fucked up. Mm. Just because you don't think they can't mess this up, that's a challenge within itself.
Try to make Negan uninteresting. Fucking try.
Okay, well, challenge accepted. So, you know, that's something you can be concerned about. But I do feel like I'm not like scared of my mind of this next season, this half of The Walking Dead, but I would be cautious just because of what I saw the first half. But I'm still excited nonetheless.
Yes. What about the last ship?
You know what? The cliffhanger they left at the end of second season too.
What about Amish Mafia?
That show's not on anymore.
Yeah, I know. Fuck you, Bobby.
Still mad about that.
Show doesn't need to be on anymore. Fuck that show.
Oh, don't worry. We're going to be watching like My 400-Pound Life or something.
God, my fiance just started getting on that again.
Again?
They did a spinoff show.
Oh, there's a spinoff?
It gets worse. So not only is there My 600-Pound Life, but now there's a spinoff show called Skin Tight.
What?
So after those people lose 450 pounds, you know, the skin doesn't just, like, recede.
Yeah, it hangs there.
Yeah, so they have to have surgery to correct that.
Ugh.
So now it's a surgery show. And one of those shows.
Everything you hate when the National Geographic does. It's those documentaries.
Although, I always hate those, like, medical, like, mystery shows where it's like, we gotta figure out how to separate this kid has like a gigantic face from some sort of weird disease and we gotta like cut half of it away and sew it together. I'm like, fuck.
There's this one show I watched of that. It was like Turtle Boy and he has this gigantic mole on his back that looks like a turtle shell. And he has a bunch of, literally a lot of freaking moles all over his body.
Yeah.
But he has this really turtle shell mole. Solid mole on his back.
Yeah.
So, everyone called him Turtle Boy, but he had to go, like, a couple of doctors from England had to be, and it's always some, like, poor kid who live in a village in South America.
Yeah, it's always some, like,
yeah,
fourth world.
Yeah. Kid. It's never some kid from Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, not even like a middle, not even like rich, but a middle class kid from Chicago.
Yeah.
That has this disease. It's some kid who has no opportunity or money to ever get this fixed.
Which is fucking cruel as shit.
Yeah. So, but they have to, but there's these people who just take case to it just because it's an interesting surgery.
Yeah.
And they have to fly these people from England to do it.
The fuck.
Yeah. And of course he has to go into like a bunch of other surgeries to get the little moles replaced.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's sensitive to the skin because, to the sun. Yeah, some of those are, like, fascinating, but I'm afraid when I watch them, is it kind of that sickening fascinating? Like, the car wreck fascinating?
Exactly. Like, am I just a really awful person? Is that what's happening right now?
Because I want to see something weird and different, not because I'm curious. And, you know, that's why I have a hard time watching those shows.
Okay, I have a new thing I went into YouTube slumming on.
Okay.
Since we're just going to randomly just start going off on tangents now.
Okay.
So, have you heard of Sovereign Citizens?
No. And do I?
Oh, this is going to be great. So, Sovereign Citizens are like the new, like, you know those like psycho people in Idaho that are like like militant separatists from the U.S.
Oh, yeah. We still have those?
Yeah. There's still plenty of them. So these people think that because of a loophole in the Bill of Rights and common law, that they can basically exist in the U.S. and opt out of all laws.
Okay, what?
Yeah, that they basically just aren't citizens of the U.S. They don't recognize the U.S. government. They, like, print out their own, like, driver's licenses and shit.
What? Okay.
Yeah, they're fucking, like, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And
is that a real, like...
This is real. There's, like, 100,000 people that are in this.
Oh, my God.
And I was on YouTube a while back, and it brought up this thing of, like, these sovereign citizen types, like, getting messed with by the police.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious. And I didn't know who they were. So I started researching them. I'm just like, holy fuck. These fucking crazy people are like basically trying to renounce their U.S. citizenship while simultaneously living in the U.S.
That's not how it works.
No, it's not. Now, coincidentally, you can actually renounce your U.S. citizenship.
Yeah.
You just have to be at a U.S. embassy.
Okay.
In another country,
okay.
And you have to formally do it in writing to a diplomat. You 100% can.
Yeah.
The catch is, you're then no longer a citizen of the United States.
Yeah.
And you can't live in the U.S. Small details.
Yeah.
Small details.
What? I don't even understand the logic of that.
There isn't logic to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like, so are you just trying to find a way to get out of doing
illegal
shit?
Like, they're basically like stupid people that think they're lawyers.
No.
Like, 99% of the time, like, there's a bunch of videos on YouTube of these people, like, getting pulled over for speeding. And the officer will pull them over and is like, well, I saw you driving, you know, 65 and a 45.
Yeah.
And the genius behind the wheel will go, well, you see, sir, I was not driving. Driving is a technical term. I am not driving because I'm not doing anything for commercial purposes. I'm traveling. That's exactly the type of bullshit. Traveling.
Well, what act are you doing to travel? Like, okay.
I am free to travel unimpeded.
So what are you doing to travel to that whatever location you're traveling to?
Now, that this would all be hilarious
yeah.
if these people weren't also still those crazy militant separatists and killing a shitload of cops.
Yeah.
Like, the fuck? Like, all I'm thinking when I finally, like, stumbled into this was, like, the United States is the only country this is possible in.
Yeah, right?
Like, could you imagine, like, being in Russia and getting pulled over by a Russian police officer and being like, you don't have any authority over me.
Yeah.
Well, oh, that's cool. You don't have any teeth either. That shit's never going to fly in any other country.
Well,
like, there wouldn't even be a discussion.
We'll make you a sovereign citizen in Siberia.
Yeah. You know, that's great. We actually have a place for sovereign citizens.
Yeah.
You like snow, right?
Yeah. You like snow and hitting rocks with hammers, right?
Awesome.
Well, here you go. One-way trip.
Here you go, buddy.
Yeah.
Have fun being free.
Do you have any friends who feel the same way?
I don't know. It just gives me a good laugh. Like,
yeah, that's silly. That doesn't make any sense.
Yes, I strongly recommend you just go on YouTube and watch these people get served on by police officers.
2016. What's not make this a thing anymore?
Hope not.
Then we know the year is going to be okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
On that note, don't be a sovereign citizen. I'm Bobby.
I'm Barge. We'll see you again in 2016.
See you next year, as the joke goes. Hey-oh.
Hey-oh.
We'll do better next time.
Yeah, we're